This is Brenda Beth. Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Josie Fasentino is playing that song.
It's time for another episode of The Josie Show. Tonight, episode 197, Josie welcomes Joe Stamina 26ers, Jared Blake, Jimmy Harris, and Freddie Asbury. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Pasentino. And now, because she can't figure out how they get all the fruit in those little fruity pebbles, Josie Pasentino.
The fruity pebble question is going to haunt me at night. Still curious. So, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Josie Show. We're glad you're joining us. Hope you guys had a great week. We had a very enjoyable week. It was great. The weather was pretty good. Well, right now it isn't, but the weather was pretty good this week. So a lot of fun stuff tonight for you guys on the show. So let me tell you what we will do in the next hour or so. So here's what I got planned. I have four amazing guests joining me tonight. Tonight my guests are Joe, Sam, and the 26ers, Jimmy Harris, Freddie Asbury, and Jared Blake. And wait till you hear all of the amazing things that they've done, what they're up to now. So it's going to be a really great show. And you'll get to hear a fun chat, some awesome music. And remember, this is our disclaimer, that we are live. So anything could pretty much happen. We've had everything from me forgetting to take myself off mute after a song to the song not being played because it won't work. So you never know what kind of techie difficulties there are. But that's the joys of having a live show.
In the keyboard.
So you never know. Exactly. Exactly. But it is supposed to be a very, very good show. However, remember the Josie Show is an all-genre live show. We air on our licensed country radio station, Country Blast Radio. And when we are not live with the Josie Show or Josie Show Special Editions episodes, we run 24/7 country music on Country Blast Radio. So you could check out that. And also you could check out our archives at josieshow.com. Which Alan has neatly arranged now. it was kind of an array, but now it's very neat and organized, and it's now by season. So thank you so much, Alan, for that. We really appreciate it. We love it now. Much neater, nicer. I like it. Or you could visit our networks tab on our site, josieshow.com, same site, to hear and find out more on how to hear all of our past episodes of The Josie Show and Josie Show Special Edition episodes. Now, before we start, on a serious note here, I have a very important announcement to make. Our good show friend Mike Seiler's band member, Gage Boker, I hope I'm saying that correctly, suffered a heart attack while on stage, and he has had some surgeries and is still recovering, and we're so glad that he is recovering, and we have been praying for him. However, he has a huge medical expenses to cover, as you can imagine. A special PayPal merchant account was set up for him. Any donations you can make would be greatly appreciated. All you have to do is click the link at the top of the Josie Show page to donate, and it's very easy. Right at the Josie Show, josieshow.com, it has a big thing here called Click Here to Donate to the Gage Boker Fund. So click that, and it'll take you right to that, and any donations would be very much appreciated to this wonderful, wonderful musician, and we pray for him, and I hope he gets so much better. So, yes, please, everyone, please do that. And also here, I want to just really quick mention that we have 12 special edition episodes up now, so you can check those out. Go to our website, josieshow.com, and click on the special editions tab. You can check out our episodes with Aaron Tipping, Glenn Douglas Tubb, David Church, Eric Lee Bedingfield, Ray Price, our tribute show, our Ray Price full interview with Mr. Ray Price himself, Justin Trevino, Bill Green, Jack and Missy, Tia Goins, Tony Booth, and Sheila Ray Charles. So now I want to just get my guest on right now. I do not want to have him waiting. So everyone, please welcome to the show, Joe Stamm.
Great, thank you. Thank you. It's very kind of you to introduce me.
Hello, I am so excited to talk with you.
Are you really? Do you say that to every guest?
I am very excited because we are going to play your songs. I'm very excited.
Well, thank you. It's nice to talk to you, too. Pleasure to be on.
Anytime. I'm excited to get to know you a little bit better. We got some fun questions and also some more serious questions to promote your work. So let's jump right in.
Oh, boy. It's kind of nerve-wracking because I don't know what these questions are in advance.
I know. Mm-hmm. We like to keep it, you know, tricky, you know.
Right. Keep it exciting.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Absolutely.
You got to keep it exciting. Yes, exactly.
So what do you want to know?
Well, first off here, I just want to start out by finding out who all the members are of the 26ers and, you know, what roles you all play in the band and all that exciting stuff.
That's a great question because they don't get enough mention. You know, you kind of introduce them at the end of the night. They're up there working their butts off the whole time, too. I think, first of all, I'll start off with the brothers. My bass player and drummer are brothers. The drummer's name is Danny Haley. He's kind of the guy who, man, we talked probably three years ago about sitting around, you know, a bar saying, hey, I'd join a band with you sometime. It wasn't the right time, and then I got a hold of him a little later, didn't work out. Got a hold of him last summer and was like, well, let's try this thing. And so Danny plays drums. His little brother, Brad Haley, is our bass player. Their dad helps out, Dan Paul Haley Sr., with sound, does a really good job for us. And then we have a guitar player named Dave McMullen, who does a great job for us. What else am I going to say? You know. And then we just actually added a guy named Clay Shawhan, who's came highly recommended, and we're really excited. Kind of just started mixing him into the set.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then of course I shouldn't forget our hired sound guy, Don Larkin, does a really good job for us and makes so many potential headaches go away, as really good sound guys do. So
love it. You can't forget him.
No, we absolutely cannot. Absolutely can't.
love it. So that makes up Joe Stamm and the 26ers, so check them out. You all make a really good team. You can tell by the songs. You guys work so well together.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And, you know, can you tell everyone a little bit about your sound before we play it? Tell us a little bit about how you would describe your music.
All right, which song are we playing, first of all, I guess?
Well, the first one we're going to play is Song of the Hills.
Okay, that is actually the most recent song.
Yes.
This is a song I actually scribbled on a napkin in the dining commons at college probably, 7 years ago. And never put chords to it for a long time, never did a whole lot with it. I always kind of knew how it went in my head, kind of skipped over it for the first album. But we started playing this song live back when the band got together over this past year. And the first show I think we played it, we had people wanting us to play it twice. And the reason we ended up recording it was because we put together this music video that's on YouTube, and it aired on a national television show in July called Relentless Pursuit on the Sportsman's Channel. I guided a raccoon hunt for a guy that hosts Relentless Pursuit back in February, and when he found out I could play music, he thought, well, heck, let's do a music video. And so I thought it kind of had to carry the same themes that we were covering with the hunting show, and it just made sense to do this song for that show, and therefore we put this one together for the music video. It's just it's kind of a bluesy, kind of a just a song about, I guess, living in the hills, you know. And it's one of my personal favorites. It's very simple, but it's I think the band did a great job putting it together. And, I guess I don't know how else to introduce it other than it's one of my favorites. The newest thing that I have put together in terms of studio work. I'm getting ready to do a lot more of it, but this was kind of a first stab at getting in the studio in recent years and putting something together.
Wow, I'm I am excited to hear it now. I love how it all came together, the story behind it. It makes it more interesting, yeah. You know?
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's all. Thank you for sharing that with us. And, you know, I don't want to delay because I know people are going to want to hear it right now. So let's play it, Song of the Hills, and we'll be right back with Joe Sam right now.
Sounds
let's
good.
Play it. Perfect. Here we go.
Cabin back in the hills, about a mile up the creek, that old sawmill. We'd go out at night, listen to the trees, they'd play a sad tune with the breeze through leaves. Pa would get out, fiddle mock, sing a sad song, all eight of us kids humming along. Hound sing bass, daddy scratch them strings, ghosts in the hollow moan harmony. Them hills once watched over India and clothing their women, feeding their young. But they gave them up when the white man came. Now grass and wheat cover forgotten graves. When the air's just right, when it's heavy with dew, their bones start groaning under that moon. The children are crying, the warriors moan, the women are silently singing death song. I like a music that hails on a full moon night. That hoes and tears morning light. I like a eerie sound and singing too. It's a deep growl, bark a hound. Took us to town when daddy's blood went cold. Indian songs finally went to her head. And here's that love, I'll leave you for dead. I like the music that hails on a full moon night. That whoa, morning light. I like the eerie sound that singing through with the
of the Hills by Joe Stan, and we're back with him right now. That is a really fun song. I like it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it.
Yeah.
Very,
we have fun
very
playing
cool.
it live. We have a lot of fun playing it live.
I can imagine. I can imagine it makes the crowd go crazy.
Well, it's one of those kind of end of the setter songs, you know,
you
kind of build it up and you got to drop it down for a break, and people really get into it. It's fun. It's been neat to see. Since we released a video on YouTube, it's been neat to see, look out. I don't think there's anything as rewarding as it from a songwriter's perspective in terms of looking out in the crowd and seeing people sing your lyrics that you wrote on a napkin in a dining common 7 years ago, for instance.
That's true. That's true. I would definitely say that would be like a highlight if someone does that, you know. That's really, really cool.
Sure.
Absolutely. And for those that want to purchase any of your songs, this song or any of them, where can our listeners go to purchase all of your music?
You can go to iTunes. You can go to, if you go to CD Baby, we actually make a little bit more money per song. So if you know, if you can go there, that's great. But iTunes is very simple for most people, and then that's great too. So, you know, if you Google the stuff, you know, you'll find any number of digital music distributors, or you can buy it. But of course, most people go to iTunes, and it is all there. So
perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I love iTunes because then you can put it on all of your devices, your iPhone, your
iPad.
It's
very simple, yes. It's very simple. So, you know, if that's more convenient for you, then consider the extra 20 cents on me. That's fine.
There you go. Yeah. Love it. So please make sure you guys check out his music. Make sure you get it. And also, can you give everyone the links to, you know, your websites or social networking sites that, you know, people can keep up on all your latest news and chat with you?
Yeah, the main thing is that we're really working out of right now is Facebook, you know, as people are. You know, you like, and I don't know if people understand how much it helps when you like the band pages of people. It just helps. It helps for booking. It helps for so much, just to help us, you know, get crowds at our shows, get shows in the first place. And you can go to Facebook, look up Joe Stamm and the 26ers. It's actually facebook.com/Joe Stamm and the 26ers. Stamm is with two M's. And worst comes to worst, just Google my name and stuff will come up, you know. It's hard not to find stuff anymore if you really want to. So Google Joe Stamm and the 26ers, you'll find the Facebook page. That's where pretty much I communicate with everybody if we have updates, such as, you know, talking to Josie on the Josie Show. That's where I tell everybody what's going on and where our shows are going to be, when I'm going to release new music, getting in the studio next month. So updates as far as that stuff will go are pretty much going to go through Facebook.
Awesome. Yeah, we definitely want to get some, we definitely want to bring people to that Facebook page so you can get likes and all that fun stuff. So we'll be posting that link everywhere, so don't worry about
that.
Great.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
No problem. We got that covered.
We're
good at that.
Good.
I also want to mention, I mean, you've achieved, you know, so many great things, had so many great experiences, and you're constantly, you know, putting out great music for the fans. But, you know, what is your one dream or goal that's out there that you're still reaching for, that you really want to see happen?
That's probably the tough question you've asked so far, because I think with music, you just want to entertain the people that are in front of you. I think any musician's dream is that pie-in-the-sky dream to make it, so to speak. And making it, I guess, is different for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, that's, you know, being able to turn on the radio and hear your stuff. I think for me, and that's certainly a goal, I guess. But I think the next step for this band and what we're doing right now is just kind of stretching out. You know, get into the next town. We'd really like to be a regional act. We really identify with the Midwest. I'm from Central Illinois. I was born and raised here, and my most recent song I wrote was called Midwest Girl, and I think it's funny because Tim McGraw just came out with a song called Southern Girl, and my idea is to kind of, you know, my idea, and I just wrote that before it came out, but my idea is that, you know, where's the Midwest in all this? And there's a lot of great culture, a lot of great music, a lot of great things that come out of this region. And we're really trying to address that and enjoy that and celebrate that. And so that's kind of the next step goal for me. You know, when you get into goals, you can really get you can really get away from yourself. But I think it's the next step is to try to, you know, stretch out, get farther into the Midwest and just get people to hear the music. You know, I'm a songwriter, so I'm a sucker for anybody that will sit and listen to my lyrics. And anytime I can see that, and anytime, and Midwest Girl, this song I just wrote less than a month ago, and we just started playing out. To see people's reactions to it over the past few weeks has been a thrill, to say the least. Just the first time we played it, it was like the roof jumped off the building that we were in. And so it'll be neat to see that one grow. It'll be neat to see a lot of the songs I've written recently grow. And anytime you get reactions from people with stuff that you sat in your living room and you know, And Midwest Girl and Brown Water, a song I also really wrote, is one of those songs where you sit there with a bottle of Jameson and an entire night of doing nothing but writing songs, and something comes out at the end that people like. That's what's exciting about it.
I love that. That's a really good answer, and it's funny, right, when you said Midwest Girl, my producer in the back, a little voice happened over in that area saying, we want that song on the show.
Yeah.
To figure that out.
Well, you'll have to, like I said, I'm getting in the studio in August, and that's just right around the corner. So hopefully within the next 6 months to 6 to 9 months, we'll actually have more product and some new songs to record, so... I haven't done an album project since 2008, so there's been a lot of writing that's been going on between then and now, and I'm excited to get this stuff down. That'll be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great. I'm excited. When that comes out, we definitely have to buy it so we can support it and just play it. We'll promote it. We'll do whatever you like.
Hey, I like all those words you're using there. It's great.
Perfect. They're very good words, I have to say.
Buy, promote. I mean, guys like that. You know, that's
I know.
That's
exactly,
musicians like.
Exactly. Nothing better than that.
No, something's got to keep the wheels going, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. And some more fun questions, a little bit about your music preferences and all that fun stuff. Mm. You know,
okay,
what
sure.
is, you know... Who do you look up to? Who are you a fan of? Like, who do you listen to?
That's a good question. I think what started it all for me, because I'm not a musician. I'm not a musician going way back. I was always a big sports guy, and then I had to actually take a music course my senior year in college to graduate. So I took intro to guitar, and everything just kind of snowballed from there. But I think when the guy that really got me into songwriting and lyrics and music before I was ever into it myself would have to be Chris Knight. He's a guy from Slaughter's, Kentucky, kind of an underground Americana guy. Just he would have to be my favorite songwriter. And him and then as I kind of grew from Chris and got into more stuff and got into more country and actually paying attention to lyrics, paying attention to music. From a songwriting perspective, him and Kris Kristofferson, by far, just my absolute favorites. And I've burned out every album that those two guys have had to the point where I don't even listen much to it anymore, but it still holds a special place in my heart. Vocally speaking, George Jones, he was, think at one point, back when CDs were something you accumulated, I think I had over 30 of George Jones's CDs. And then kind of I grew into I'm a huge Waylon fan. Waylon Jennings is definitely an iconic figure in my musical development and just, you know, someone I look up to and just a great style, a great sound. And you could go on and on from there. There's all those guys, you know, all the cliche guys that you gotta like who doesn't like Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and all those and all that stuff. Current band that I am just a huge fan of, Sons of Bill, some guys out of Virginia that are currently touring, currently putting out great music, really friendly guys. Just really put out some great stuff. So I follow everything they do. I just kind of got into Holly Williams, who's Hank Williams Jr.'s daughter, and she just, again, songwriting. Lyrics are really what pulls me in. So it's songwriting, it's sound, I draw a lot from artists like that. And you kind of got to keep finding these people. I think Holly Williams is a great example of somebody you just got to keep finding these people. People that are doing something a little bit different or just have a song or a hook or a line or a riff that pulls you in and makes you want to write another song. And all those people that I've mentioned do that for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You have a powerful list. I mean, those are all, the great, and we're going to have to Google that band that you were mentioning because I have never heard of them, but they sound awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to check out Sons of Bill. They're great. I was actually, I saw them for the first time. They're opening for Reckless Kelly, who was a great band out of the Texas red dirt scene. And, talked to them. They were friendly, kind of got to know them, and just great guys that put out good music.
nothing better than that. Very, very cool. No. Google is good for everything.
Absolutely, it is.
Love it, love it. Yes. some more like fun questions here for you.
When you're not
working on your music, what are some things that you like to do on your downtime? You have to have a downtime. What do you like to do for fun?
I'm in the middle of downtime. Actually, my buddy's house. I live out in the middle of. I live pretty much out in the middle of nowhere in central Illinois, close to the Illinois River. And I actually am blessed enough that even though I live where I do, I have good friends that are within a four-wheeler's ride down the road. And we hang out, we drink beer, we fish, we swim in the creek, swim in the pond, we go hunting. We just, you know, tonight is, this weekend is actually a duck blind drawings in our area, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's where you know, there's a certain amount of blinds that are assigned to the river, the Illinois River, and you go there, and there's basically a big party, and at a certain point, then everybody draws for which blind they get. So this is that weekend. It's always a special weekend in our neighborhood. We get together, and we drink a lot of beer and tell a lot of stories, and definitely going to be playing some music here in a couple hours, I'm sure. I work a full-time job, and then all my weekends are pretty much taken up with music and a lot of time in between. So you got to kind of take. It's nice to have friends that are close that do a lot of the same things, and my friends around here are certainly my lifeblood in terms of being able to kind of get away from work a little bit and enjoy enjoy life and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So a lot of outdoor stuff. Gotta be in open air, and we have a lot of things to do out there that are conducive to that.
Very, very cool. Yeah, you need those friends and those, you know, those times for yourself to keep you sane, because
you're right. Well, you know, absolutely. And songs like Song of the Hills don't come from nowhere. This is not a guy who, you know, sits in an apartment building in the city and imagines. It's you know, it comes from and songwriting is always a blend of experience and imagination. And Song of the Hills is a great example of that. You know, I've certainly lived a lifestyle I can resonate and appreciate the nostalgia of such a concept that song brings out. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of imagination in there, and it's an interplay of those two things.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, I think it's amazing how, you know, different songwriters have different ways of doing it, but it's always the same. They do it from, you know, personal experiences or, you know, whatever, and I think that makes the best songs, personally. I love those things that you can relate to. They're not some far-fetched thing, you know what I mean?
Right, you're right. And sometimes you can tell when people are faking, you know. I've written songs where I could tell I was faking, you know.
You caught yourself.
But the better ones, you know, you've definitely got a chunk of yourself in there and a lot of, you know, stuff that you've experienced and resonate with. But if you don't have a little imagination, you're never going to write a song that'll really work out.
Right.
Because music is music and fantasy is fantasy, but it's all part of it.
Exactly. I think that's awesome, and I think you do such great work. You're an amazing songwriter. And the other song that we have here is 5 Feet Down. Can you tell us a little bit about your inspiration on this song that we're about to play?
Yeah, 5 Feet Down is one of those. I remember the moment I wrote that song. I was actually waiting to go to a buddy's party, and it just kind of wasn't time yet. And I sat on the floor in my dad's basement because I was home for the weekend from where I was living at the time, and wrote this song out like in an hour or two. By the end of it, people were calling me like, "Where are you at?" I'm like, "Oh, just let me finish the song." But it's one of those songs about self-destructive behavior, and I guess it's one of those things that we all deal with at certain levels. I think it's a song about despondency in one sense and reflection, because in the bridge of the song it kind of flashes forward to years later, and you look back on the behavior that created where the subject of the song is at by the end of the song. I think we can all resonate with decisions we've made in the past that have shaped the situation we're currently in. And some of those are good, some of those are bad. Even some of those things that are bad end up being good. So It's really about that. It's about a song of not of kind of knowing where you're at, wishing you were someplace different, knowing the mistakes that you're making are not right, but yet kind of being caught in them, and kind of being along for the ride of your own, that your own decisions create, and that's kind of a large nutshell what the song is about, what the song's trying to say, what it's trying to kind of capture. It's a very honest, kind of gritty. Life circumstance kind of song. So that's about all I have to say about that one. Yeah, let's listen to it and find out. I guess this is one we recorded back in 2008. So this is kind of an oldie for me. You know, come a long way in terms of basically everything that has to do with music since then. But it's still a project. That whole album. While you go back and listen to past things and you want to nitpick them and all that stuff, it's still an album I'm very proud of for what it represents in my musical development and in my songwriting development and all that stuff. So.
Exactly, exactly. It's oldie but goodie. We're very excited.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Yes. Awesome, awesome. Well, let's not keep the fans waiting. I'm excited. Let's play it right now. Five feet down. Let's do it.
Do it.
With us, you can come back anytime.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. It was great talking to you.
It was so great talking with you too, and we'll chat with you very, very soon. I guarantee.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Joe Stamm and the 26ers. Please check them out. Give a post on your Facebook and make sure you give them some likes. When about Google? Joe Stamm, Stamm with two M's, S T A M M. So please check them out. So now I do not want to delay. Hello? Yes?
Just want to let everybody know that last Friday's episode of the Josie Show has broken a new record. The show, while live, had almost 1,500 listeners.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, very, very nice. And many more than that. That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. Thank you, Alan. That's so cool. And I do not want to get our guest waiting here. So let's do it. Let's not delay. Everyone, please welcome Jimmy Harris. Woohoo!
Hello, Josie.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and first let me say I'm really excited about being on the show. I don't know if we've got 15,000 or however many Alan said, but I think every friend I have is listening.
That is funny. Well, I'm excited to have you on. I think that is amazing that you took the time to come on the show and chat with me. I think that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'm really glad to, and I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but I have one question.
All right, sounds good.
Can you think of anybody that you know that may have just been graduated from high school?
Yeah. That'd be me.
You look great in the mortarboard. I imagine everybody's proud.
Thank
Congratulations.
You so much. My mom and dad are still in denial. They're like, man, how could this happen? I remember when she was five. But yeah, everyone is so excited about it. Thank you.
That's terrific.
That's awesome. That was kind of my fun for the week. for sure. love it. But I want to talk about the amazing things that you do. I mean, you wear, first of all, let me start, you wear many amazing hats. I mean, you are a songwriter, singer, performer, amazing fiddle player, just to name a few. I mean, those are many hats that you wear. I mean, you just take one off and put the next one back on. If you're not singing, you're a performer or amazing fiddler, all that. So you started playing fiddle. Did you start that as a child?
Actually, I did. I started out with guitar. I started out more years ago than I can remember, but I remember when it was. I was 10 years old. And I started playing guitar, and my daddy, we lived in Houston, and he was one of the officials with the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and that's the one that's, you know, been known for so long as the world's biggest rodeo, you know. And so I got to play a lot of things and be on TV shows around there, and I guess I'm kind of like the guy in the song. I played at every supermarket parking lot and bowling alley and barbecue.
Awesome.
And you know Texans, you know, they're ready to have a fiesta at the drop of a hat, so there was always some place to play. And after I started playing a lot, and I formed a little band with some guys that were older than I was and could play better than I could, and just to all you aspiring players out there, that's the only way you get good. The only way you become a good player is to play with good players. So
exactly.
I advise all the young players out there to play with good players every chance they get. And I guess I was about, 14 or 15, and I noticed that there were a lot better guitar players than I. And although I loved the guitar, and I love the fiddle, and so I said, well, I'm going to try the fiddle. And I just started learning by playing records when I was about 14, 15, and I would just, we had those 45 records, you know, it had a big hole in the middle that just wouldn't heal up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
and I would spin those 45 records, and I would copy what the fiddle player was playing on the record. My favorite was Tommy Jackson, although I didn't know it was Tommy Jackson then. I just knew it was the fiddler on the Ray Price records. And
right.
I loved it, and I played it. And I wasn't really sure about what I was playing, but I could copy it. And gosh, by the time I was 19, I was working in a studio and playing on other people's records. And so it's just something I kind of fell into. I still love the guitar. I tell my sons all the time, I might have been a guitar player if God hadn't made me a fiddle player.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, you got to do a lot of really cool stuff while playing the fiddle. In the group, the Benderos, I hope I'm saying that correctly, you played for some legends such as Willie Nelson and Ray Price. I mean, greats like that. Like, they don't even need an introduction. I mean, you know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Those experiences. Mm-hmm.
The dream of every young fiddle player, of course, was to be a Cherokee cowboy. And that's, of course, Ray Price's band. And I never was a regular. I played a lot of shows with him when I was older. And the Willie Nelson connection came when I was playing with the great Johnny Bush, who is a great singer, songwriter in Texas. His giant hit was Whiskey River, which became Willie's theme song. And so we would go and open shows for Willie, and I would get to go out there on stage and do Home in San Antone and maybe two or three songs, and then Johnny Bush would come out, and then Willie Nelson and family would come out, and those were some of my favorite times that I ever had, was just being able to stand there and watch Willie play. And then sometimes at the end of the show, he'd kind of get everybody that played on the show up there, and they would do Amazing Grace or Will the Circle Be Unbroken or something like that, you know. And mm-hmm. So it was just great being around all those great entertainers and great pros.
Right, right. You were in good company, for sure.
Yes, I was very fortunate. And fortunate to play on hit records and stuff. I just happened to be working in a studio, and they started cutting hit records, and I was the fiddle player there when they did. So I got to play on a whole bunch of hits for Kenny Dale and Randy Corner and Fiddlin' Frenchie Burke and folks like that.
Wow, that's awesome. That's the way to go right there. So cool. That's awesome. You know, as you mentioned a little bit, you've also had, you know, artists such as Johnny Bush record your songs too, right? Wow, what does
that
feel
has
like?
Happened. Yes, it felt great. He surprised me. He and I wrote a song called "The Last Country Song," and this was this was way before. Now, a lot of people now are bemoaning the death of country music. And I think maybe we're bemoaning a little bit too soon. The music's still there, and there's still a market for it, and people still like to listen to it. And if you doubt that, just go to anywhere, Johnny Bush or Ray Price. And, Chief, if you're listening, I hope you get to feeling better. You know, Ray just got out of the hospital recently,
yeah.
You know. You just go to any of those guys' dances, And look at the crowd. I mean, the place is packed. There is obvious an audience for that. I don't really worry about country dying. But we wrote this song called "The Last Country Song" way back in 1979, and that was even before the urban cowboy craze. He surprised me. We played Dance Town on New Year's Eve, and we were cutting a live album. And I think that album's still in print, and I know there's several places where you can buy it. It's just called Johnny Bush and the Bandoleros Live at Dancetown, USA. It may be not to break my arm patting my back, because I didn't have that much to do with the production of the album except play on the show, but it's one of the best Western swing albums ever recorded. It kind of shows what John can do and what small band Western swing sounds like. But he shocked me and surprised me. Toward the end of the show, he just stepped up to the microphone and he said, "How many of y'all like country music?" And everybody screams. And then he says, "How many of y'all like Texas country music?" And everybody screams. And he says, "Well, here's a song that Jimmy Harris and I wrote. It's called 'The Last Country Song,' and it goes like this." And he just turned around and looked at me, and, And John Schattenberg was the other fiddle player. You can see him on True Country nowadays. He pops up on there now and then on RFD TV. But he and I kicked it off, and we played it, and it wound up on the
wow.
album. So it was a surprise, and it was fun.
That's amazing. If that happened to me, I would have been my heart would have been down in my stomach. I would have been so like wow, like I would have been so nervous a little bit in the beginning, but then I would just be like, wow, that's just amazing.
Well, my heart was pounding because I'm thinking, man, I hope I remember how to play it.
right, I can imagine. Wow.
And it's always a treat to hear somebody else sing your words, you know? Hear somebody
right.
else sing a song that you wrote. Like Brian Collins is running around, he's on a, I don't know exactly, you got to bear with me, Miss Josie. I'm kind of an 8-track guy in a digital world, and I'm not sure how all this internet stuff works, but he's on a bunch of internet radio stations singing a song that I wrote called One Love and Night. And I wrote this song a long time ago, and he cut it, and I didn't even know about it, and I heard it on the internet the other day. And so, and that's another guy that's really figured into my life. Brian Collins, one of the best friends I ever had. I think you know him, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow.
Yeah, he taught me how to write songs. Actually, what he taught me, Ms. Josie, was that how to mm-hmm. tell a good song from just another day's work. You know, as a songwriter, you're kind of
mm-hmm.
writing on songs all the time. And, you mm-hmm. know, some of them wind up in the trash can, or most of them
right.
wind up in the trash can.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is funny. Well, you have to have those supporters around you that, you know, kind of point you in the right direction and teach you how it's done, and then you can just go full force and do it yourself, you know? You have to have that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Did
right,
you write
right.
some songs yourself?
I did one song, Teenage Girl, and I'm about to go in the recording studio for my second one, so I'm kind of doing the same thing a little bit, but, I mean, you know, I don't play any instruments quite yet, so you keep on with your fiddling.
Don T. Hall said that you're supposed to write what you know, and you're a teenage girl, so I guess you would know about it.
Exactly. I wrote what I know. Exactly. Oh, I love it. That is so cool. And I'm really quick here. I'm getting the thumbs up here. My producer wants me to bring you on. We'll bring her on. So let's turn on her mic here really quick. It is.
Hello. I just wanted to pop
Hello.
In really quick because I've got a message for you.
Oh,
Don Caldwell
great.
Had called into the show a little while ago, and he just wanted to say how happy he was that you're on the show tonight, and he wanted to say thank you for going to be coming down in August on the 17th to do the show here in Illinois. So we just wanted to say, he just wanted to say thank you very much. So I wanted to pipe in and let you know.
Thank you, Miss Tina, and thank you, Don. And gosh, you folks out there in the Midwest, if you're within 100 miles or so of Payne, Illinois, you need to come because it's not just me on that show. You're going to have Wesley Dennis and Mike Seiler mm-hmm. and Brad Howard, and I don't know all who all. There's a bunch of folks going to be on that show, and we're going to have a big time.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of music there. I'm definitely trying to make it there because I really want to come to this one as well. So I went to the other one, but now I need to go to this one. So I may come. I might. I think I will.
No, I can't promise anything, Josie, except you'll hear some good country music.
Yeah, that's all you need to promise me. That's the good stuff. I love it. That's the stuff. Perfect. Well, I'm definitely going to try my best to get there so I could hear some great country music from you great, 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 great guys. And a little bit of some of your music we have on tonight so you could hear a little bit of what we could
great.
Be expecting. It's your music here. First off, can you tell us a little bit about the music that you have out right now? Tell us a little bit about where we could find it and all that fun stuff.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, in general, I've got a plan. I wanted to write and record new music, you know, not covers of old songs. I wanted to write and record new music that I could mm-hmm. record in a way to where it sounded like old music, where it had that old 60s feel to it, you know. And that's
mm-hmm.
kind of where I headed with this album. And you can download it on iTunes, and And I'm not really sure how to do that, but if you have an iPhone, you know how.
There you go.
You can download it from iTunes, or you can go to my website. It's just jimmyharris.com, and it's two R's and two S's, kind of like Joe had two M's on the last of his name. It's Jimmy Harris, two R's and two S's .com. And there's a place on there where you can, if you want a real CD, you can buy one there. And if you want to just download the album or pieces of the album, it's available at iTunes.
Perfect. Easy. So there's many, many places you guys can go to. And we're going to post your links as well everywhere. So we'll make sure that
Great.
We get that out so they can find you. Yeah. We'll
appreciate make that, Josie.
No problem.
Oh, you had a
no
great
problem.
Show. I just wanted to say one thing about Joe. That guy, he is really a fine baritone. I don't know if he's still listening or not, but he's a good singer. He's a good writer. And
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about his band name, the 26ers. Well, for my age group, we just have to call them maybe the 56ers or something, you know.
You're
but there's
right.
A lot
That's
of us.
Hilarious.
We're the baby
he is great. He is really great. His music is awesome, for sure. Love it, love it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, definitely. very, very nice. But, yeah, you know what? If anybody's in the Illinois area, you definitely have to come down because I can imagine it'll be a lot of fun because this is what you're going to get. You're going to get some fun, just, you know, just all that kind of stuff. It's going to be good. I'm definitely going to try. It's awesome.
You don't even have to worry about packing a picnic basket because I think Don has decided to serve pulled pork sandwiches. So I guess some of us will have to go down there early and roast a hog.
Who's going to get that job? Oh, my God.
I don't know, but whoever does the roasting gets the first pull.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they deserve it. Yeah, definitely. Oh, that's hilarious, hilarious. I'm excited to play your music. I know people are excited. I'm getting, you know, tons of Facebook messages. When are you going to play the song? So I'm going to play the song right now, people. Don't worry. Let's play your song right now, Home Still Lives On, and we'll be right back, okay? Let's do it.
Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Here we go. Home Still Lives On.
Sometime in the night I traveled back to where I've been. I climbed out of the car to find myself back home again. Gramps was in the front yard working on the Chevrolet. Youngins playing around his feet and getting in the way. Home still lives on in the mind, and I can go back home anytime. Home may be gone, but the memory's still alive. Home still lives on in my mind. Home still lives on. Cried and hugged me close. We sat down at the table while she snacked on tea and toast. Mom came from the kitchen with her apron white with flour. She said, son, let's talk a minute, and we must have talked an hour. Home still lives on in my mind. Mind. Home still lives on in
that he snuck out back. He rolled a cigarette and then he tucked away the sack. He told me about a horse he bought, named the price he gave. Then with one hand on my shoulder, he asked if I'd been saved. Home still lives on in my mind, and I can go back home anytime. Home may be gone, but the memory's still alive. Home still lives on in my mind.
By Jimmy Harris, and we're back with him right now. So a really, really a good question for you here. Are you currently working on any other projects that you could tell us about as of right now? Anything new you're working on?
Yes, absolutely. I'm writing an album. I've found half a dozen songs in my portfolio I've been wanting to record for a long time. And
yeah.
I'm going to write six or seven more songs, and I'm in the middle of those right now. And I'm going to write a kind of a concept album that shows the evolution. This is awful pretentious sounding, but I want to show the evolution from the big band swing of the 30s and 40s, like, you know, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys and that kind of music, mm-hmm. and the way it evolved through Ray Price and the Cherokee Cowboys, and then was refined in a little different way with Johnny Bush and the Bandoleros, and is now being, and other guys too, like Tony Booth and Curtis Potter and Daryl McCall, guys like that, you know. All of those Texas guys. I don't think you have to be from Texas to play swing, but it doesn't hurt, you know. and then all the way up to now, where you have some incredible artists that may not have broken out on the national consciousness yet. Guys like Jake Hooker from Fort Worth. His daddy was Tommy Lee Hooker, a great, great steel player. Is Tommy Lee Hooker? He's still with us. And another guy that I like a whole lot is Bobby Flores. I knew Bobby and played some with Bobby, he was just a boy. He was still in school, but he had probably the greatest fiddle player we have with us right now is Hank Singer, who lives down in Texas, and he played with Hank Singer for a long time. So I think if I played with Hank Singer every day, I'd get better too. So that's where I'm going. I would like to write songs that reflect that evolution. You know, cut some in the old style and some mm-hmm. from the '60s, early '70s type of style, right up to what guys are doing right now, which is probably less jazz influenced and more Western influenced. And, of course, when I first started playing, it was called country and Western music. You know, if you remember the Blues Brothers, one of the best lines in the movie where they walk into that cowboy bar and Belushi says, "What kind of music you play here?" And the guy goes, "Both kinds, country and Western." So that's what I'm going to try to do on the next project. And I'm hoping we can get rolling on that before the end of the year. But right now, I'm spending all my time in shameless self-promotion on this album.
That sounds so interesting, though. That sounds like it's going to be really good. I've definitely
Well, it's
going to
be fun. Yeah. I know that it's going to be fun. And
nice.
You know, we cut this. I've recorded all over the United States. I've recorded in L.A. I've recorded in Houston, San Antonio, Nashville, Branson. And I got to tell you, this studio that I'm working at right now, and I won't really go into that. It's not necessarily a plug for them. You can look them up on the internet. It's called Nottingham Studio in Springfield, Missouri. And the guy that runs it, he used to play with the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, which was like the big country rock band out of here in the 70s. And and his name is Gary Smith, and he is a digital genius, and he's a good player, good producer, and so we've rounded up good musicians, and we've been able to do good work, and it just proved to me that I didn't have to drive hundreds or even thousands of miles to cut a good record.
Right, exactly. Well, that's very exciting. I'm excited for your upcoming work. We're definitely going to support it for sure. And we're actually running out of time here, but I want to play. No problem. Before we run out of time here, I don't want to get cut off here. But
sure.
I want to play your song, "The Bandolero King." So I would like to do that now, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. I had so much fun chatting with you.
I appreciate it, Josie. Let me say one thing real quick. Tomorrow
yeah.
night, to all the folks in the Texarkana area, I'm going to be on the Oaklawn Opry in Texarkana. So if you're in the Arklatex, you know where that is. And if you look at the website, it doesn't have my name because I was a last-minute ad. I'm going to be a guest on the Tammy Carlisle portion of the show. So I'm going to sing four songs, and I'm going to fiddle some more, and we're going to have a big time in Texarkana tomorrow night.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Well, have fun doing that. And definitely.
Thank you, Josie.
You,
I sure appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, wait, hold on one second here. What's going on?
Hold on.
Hold on. Our producer found something. What's going on? Oh, I think we had a message for you. Hold on.
Oh, man.
We
don't
want to get
people know my phone number?
From those fans. We have to get to those. You know we do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's see if we can find it.
Yeah.
Do you find it?
I can't find it now, but I'll go ahead and get it.
Oh, yes.
All right. So Tammy Carlisle had sent a message text over, and of course I'm zooming around trying to find it, but I'll have to type it and put it in your Facebook private box. But she was excited
That'll
about
be
you
great.
Being on the show tonight. She's excited about you joining her tomorrow. So she was just sending over a little text to say, hey, do you and give you a little hard time, you know.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Tammy, and thank all you folks in Texarkana. And thank you, Josie.
Thank you so much. So much for coming on the show, and we'll chat with you very soon, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Shimmy Harris, everyone. And let's play a song right now, The Bandolero King. And we will be right back. We have even more fun with guests. So hold on. Here we go. Let's play right now.
A bona fide Cherokee cowboy, like I wished I had been. Texas from the band.
Bandolero King. We live crown forever young. I'm clean and straight and sober, but I yearn for what once was. I remember me and Johnny and the joy a song can bring. My boss, my friend, my hero, my bandolero king. We lived on Whiskey River. Oh, what a way to live. When the Lord gave us a mountain, each time we climbed the hill. So tip your hat to royalty in the land of Western swing, in the honky tonks of Texas, to the bandolero king. He's out there playing somewhere, the bandolero king.
And for those who are wondering why Josie's not talking, because she probably forgot to unmute her mic, because she's like,
oh, yes, I did. That was Jimmy Harris' blooper again. Gotta love it. That was Jimmy Harris and his song, The Bandolero King. Now, I want to get to my next guest here. I'm sorry if we're running behind. I'm having too much fun with these interviews, and apparently I'm forgetting to unmute myself.
Dead silence from forgetting to unmute her mic. Just send us a message, and we'll mail it out to you.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Sometimes, see, live shows are always very exciting. You never know what I'll mess up on. You gotta love it. Keeps it interesting. Now, everyone, here, please welcome Freddie Israel to the show. Yeah!
How you doing, Josie?
I'm doing great. Freddie, how are you?
I am okay. Thank you for having us on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very excited to have you on the show. Been looking forward to it.
Great.
I love it. You seriously do it all. You know, you're not limited to anything. I mean, you do a lot of cool stuff. But first, I want to kind of rewind back here a little bit. Can you tell us about your early memory of standing on a table singing Johnny Cash songs as a child? I heard this. I read this story and I thought it was so cool. So please share with us that story.
Yeah, and that was kind of awesome. You know, my uncle had he used to play music when we was growing up, and of course, music, you know, runs in our family. It goes back to my grandpa, and so he just one day he was playing Johnny Cash, and I think I was a little younger than that, but he seen me dancing, and you know, I'm not no dancer, so he seen me dancing, but he set me up on a table, and I love Johnny Cash so much that he went out and bought an 8-track, and he actually gave it to me.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
That
I
is
still
awesome.
Remember that, like it was yesterday.
Wow. That is so cool.
Oh, it's awesome.
That is awesome. Another thing here, though, that I want to mention that many people would not know about you. Maybe you guys do. You don't know. But now, if I understand correctly, we hear your voice in some musical American greeting cards. Is that true?
I actually had the privilege of going to American Greetings, and through my producer, Wes McGraw, at Creekside Audio Studios in Norton, Ohio. And he kind of got us hooked up with that, and the guy that's over everything out there called and said, man, I got to have this guy out there. You know, he's pretty good, and he sounds real good, you know. And I've heard his music, and we just got to get him in here. So they called me one day and said, hey, Freddie, this is Tim out at American Greetings. And I'm like, who? He said, American Greetings, the American Greeting cards. We like to get you to come in and like to capture your voice, he called it. And I said, okie dokie, it's the first time anybody ever asked me that, but I said, I'd love to do it. And we went in and we sat down and we did a couple cards, and it was awesome. It was a great experience for me.
That is so cool. And were the cards kind of like, you know, happy birthday and something like that?
Yeah, well, the last one we did was we did a Garth Brooks type thing. It was Friends in Low Places, and what they was actually doing with that card, I don't know, but it sounded so good. I'm like, okay, we can do that. So we went in and did it. Well, he asked me, we got to go back in, I think, next month, and we're gonna do one. I think George Jones did it. It's The Race Is On. And why not? Like I say, I don't exactly know what that has to deal with, but yeah. But we did birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, Christmas cards and things like that. So it's been a blessing.
Wow, I think that is so, so neat. I don't think we've had someone on the show that actually did that, so I wanted to mention it because I think that's just so cool.
Right, right.
Yeah, that is awesome. But back to your music. Sorry, I had to mention
okay.
It was really cool. But who makes up the Southern Country Band, and what roles do they each play in the band? Please let us know.
Well, Jeff Hageman, which is I'll tell you the story behind Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
When I was little and growing up, you know, Jeff had been playing music long before me, and I think I was probably about, I don't know, 5-6 years old, and my sister had gotten married to Kenny Hageman. That was his name. That's Jeff's brother, oldest brother. And I used to hear him. This is funny. You're going to laugh about this. But anyway, I used to hear him, and I would sneak out. And I wouldn't go around the gate, the front, so people could see me. But I would go out the back door and climb the fence, and I would go over and stand at the garage window where they practice music. And one time I was standing at the window, he would say, "Hey, there's little Freddie." He said, "Come on in here, buddy, and sing us a song." And I'm like, "Okay, man." And I'd go in and I'd sing a song, and the next thing you know, the garage door opens. And there she is standing. And you, mister, get back home right now. Oh, them was a good old days.
Those were good old days.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But I try to be, I'm just me 24/7. You know, I try to stay down to earth and not try to, you know, I love my music, and I mean it. Actually, I consider myself as being a great songwriter, and I've done it a long time, and I just I don't take it lightly. I take it seriously, and you know, my love for country music runs deep.
Oh, and absolutely.
It's great.
Absolutely. I feel like, having the skills to be a songwriter, all that stuff must stem from somewhere. So who are your inspirations? I mean, who keeps you trekking along and your biggest musical influences? Who would you say, both personal and musically?
Well, my mom used to have a pretty good friend named Lois Rife. She's passed away now, but she was a big gospel music fan, and she loved the gospel group, the Singing Cooks. And my mom, you know, being a Christian and everything, she used to sing in church, and that's where I actually started really performing at first. You know, we would go to church, and they would call me up to come and sing a song, and you know, I can remember singing all the old hymns and like Amazing Grace, and you know it. When I was in church, you know, they would actually say, you know, man, he's going to be a great gospel singer one of these days. And not to mention, Josie, not only do I love, you know, the country music, but I love gospel music, you know, and I love any kind, any style, like contemporary, bluegrass, you know, just I love it, you know, because I always give thanks to him, you know, because without him, I'm nothing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, in your personal life, do you have any inspirations, you know, that kind of, you know, keep you on track, so to speak?
Yes, I do. Well, there's two people, you know. My better half is, I like to call, I you know, we got a thing, you know, like when we say old lady, you know, but not meaning nothing bad by it, you know, but she, I come out better. My better half, which is Loretta, you know, she always keeps me on track, keeps me focused, keeps my music first, you know, and she always says, you know, mom's passed away, but, you know, she would say if your mom was here, she'd be doing the same thing. But she's kind of like the backbone in the operation, you know. She loves to sit down and write with me, and it is absolutely awesome, Josie. The thing, I tell you, sometimes I'm amazed. I mean, I am just amazed of the things that she comes up with. And she's like, do you think you might be able to use this? And I'm like, oh, my God, you're a genius. You know, it's kind of funny. But, yeah, but my mom and Loretta, you know, she is, you know, when my mother was living, she always used to say, hey, you know, just remember to always be polite and humble. And you know, with a little hard work and determination, you'll go places.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. That's definitely a good quote right there. That should be on a T-shirt.
That's right. You know that saying, you know, and you know, like I say, you know, mother being a Christian, you know, she used to use that old phrase, you know, hey, you're not where you used to be, and you're not where you want to be, but you're on your way, and that is awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. And you need those people in your life to kind of push you along and, you know, kind of be on your side, you know, through all the madness and the craziness and all the things that you have to do. You need that person on your side to support you through everything, you know?
That's right. You got to have a solid foundation in anything you do, Josie.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And my dad, you know, I remember my dad, you know, he loved to hear me play and sing, you know. We would, some of the best times I had, you know, of course dad's passed away too, you know, so on our porch and on our front porch, and it had the best view. You could see all the way down what we call like the holler, you know. All the way down the holler, and you know, we'd sit out there sometimes and my dad would just totally you couldn't even hear anything, and because dad would say, "Well, sing that one and sing this other one." And remember that one we used to do? And I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, you know." And I miss him, but he bought me my first guitar. He bought that guitar from Sears and Roebuck, and it was an old Harmony. And although you know that guitar was a cheap guitar, it was priceless. It was priceless to me.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Wow, that's awesome. I think that's incredible, you know, to have such great supports like that. And your music, you know, it's just amazing. We're a fan of the music that you put out there. And we have a song here called Tennessee. Can you tell us a little bit about this song, Tennessee, for us?
Awesome, awesome song. You know, I sat down, you know, a few years back, and, you know, like I say, Josie, you know, I go through these writing spells. I think I heard Toby Keith say one time, he, you know, every year I think he writes like 15 or 20 songs, and then he gets those songs out, you know, several months after he writes them, and then he goes over them, and that's where he really hears his mistakes and what he wants to change and things like that. So, you know, I kind of keep up with today's country, you know, the modern style country. But don't get me wrong, I love classic country. I love Charlie Rich, George Strait, George Jones, you know, all the great classic artists. You know, I love them, and I grew up playing that music. But I also love, you know, the groups that I grew up with, which was a little more southern rock style, you know, like Lynyrd Skynyrd and Marshall Tucker and you know, the Allman Brothers and Old Hank Jr., you know. I mean, I love them. And so I sat down and I started out, you know, writing that song, and I'm like, man, I got this Tennessee in my mind, and I'm like, how can I start that song? You know, and me being a songwriter, I was like, well, I grew up in the Southlands, you know, playing in a rock and roll band. You know, I played southern rock and country just like Skynyrd did. And then there it was. And from there it was, you know, all downhill. I don't want to say – I don't want to make it sound easy because, you know, just anybody can't write songs, you know. I mean, But it was awesome writing that song, you know, because I sat down and I actually had that song for about, I guess, about 2 years before I actually wanted to do something with it. And a good friend of mine, Roger Wood Sr., he, you know, I'd been trying to get in touch with Roger, and you know, because I wanted to start promoting, and I wanted, you know, I wanted a good manager and everything, and I finally got in touch with him and got Roger to call me, and he's like, "Freddie, where have you been?" I'm like, "Man, I've been around here playing music, buddy." I tell you what, Josie, you know, Roger has really, he's been over backwards for me. You know, he's helped me with my music. He's actually got Tennessee on the country charts, and we started at 25. We fell in at 25 on the country charts, and that right there was just amazing all by itself. But we ended up climbing the charts. We're at number 24 now, and I hear it's doing real well. Most of all, hey, I just want people to like my music, and I just want to be heard. And you know, I can't say anything else about it. I've been blessed, and Roger has really, really, really helped me. But let me tell you something: the mastermind behind my music is Wes McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
He is an old Southern boy too. And it's funny how, you know, I had heard a guy before. I was sitting there listening to the interview, and I'd heard him talking about recording in Nashville and you know, and all over in Texas and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that is an awesome thing to do, is to get to record in Nashville. But, you know, I got to thinking, hey, you know, there's musicians all over the world. And, Josie, I went and I found some of the best musicians to play in my band in Ohio. And you talking about some great musicians. Mr. McGraw, he put this band together for me, and it was it was just a dream come true. They're all well-respected, and a lot of them played with some big names in country, like when Reba first got started, you know, I think Jim played with her and played with Shelby Lynn, and I think he even did some work for Billy Joe Royal. And so I'm blessed, and I had one of my steel guitar players he's retired this year, but he was a professor at Kent State in music, and I'm like, oh my goodness, man, that is awesome.
That is awesome. Very, very cool. Well, I love it. I think it's amazing. You know, the people that you work with, you've had so many great people that you got to work with. And, you know, it all comes down to, you know, great music, and you sure have it. So I want to play it. I want to play your song, Tennessee, and everybody will enjoy it. So let's play it right now. Let's do it, Tennessee.
Thank you, Josie.
Thank you. Let's do it.
Southland, playing in a rock and roll band. I play southern rock and country, just like old Skinner did. Well, the road was rough and rocky, but I finally made it to the top. 'Cause I paid my dues, I don't sing the blues, 'cause son, I was born to rock. Tennessee, Tennessee, gonna play the same with old Hank one day, just wait and see. I think, what's your name, oh can't you see, and truth is gone with the wind. I play coast to coast and sold out shows, and Lord, I'm a rambling man. I'll never be the Marshall Tucker Band, oh stop, oh can't you see. Well, my neck is red and I'm southern bred, they call me Tennessee. I loved old Wayne Allman and old Ronnie Van Zant too. But when they died, I broke down and cried, 'cause I'm southern through and through. I'm gonna play the Grand Ole Opry, I'm gonna walk out on that stage with my guitar like all those stars. I wanna hear them yell my name. Tennessee, Tennessee, I'm gonna play and sing with old Hank one day, just wait and see.
What's your name? Oh, can't you see? And to the gone with the wind. I play coast to coast and sold out shows. And Lord, I'm a rambling man. I'll never be the Marshall Tucker Band or Tom. Oh, can't you see? Well, my neck is red and I'm southern bred. And they call me Tennessee.
Right now. So where is the best place that your new listeners and new fans can go to purchase all of your music? Where can we go?
Well, Josie, we just got through recording, and Roger just released Tennessee, and you can go to CD Baby, and I think now I don't know if you can go there right now, but it is in the process, and it will be done within the next day or so. But yet, you know, there's a lot more music that we're getting ready to release right now. We've got three songs that we're going to release. One of them I wanted to tell everyone about. Me and Roger and Loretta and Jeff, we actually sat down and we wrote a song called "In Oklahoma's Time of Need," and it is just the rough cut of it, but. Actually, it is awesome. You know, we wrote it, you know, for the tragedy, you know, that happened out in Oklahoma and just, you know, everything that they were going through. And I was so fortunate to sit down and get to write that song for those people. You know, we plan on trying to do something for them. And hopefully, you know, we actually had the privilege of debuting that song at the Wheeling Jamboree, where Brad Paisley got his start at.
Oh, wow.
Man, that was awesome, Josie. I was so tickled. Hey, I was so tickled to be there. I was like,
yeah.
Brad Paisley started right here. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Wow, yeah, we have that song, "In Oklahoma, Time of Need." And we'll play that in just a second. So we have that. So don't you worry, fans out there that want to hear it. We got it.
You know, Josie, I was sitting here thinking, you know, I was like, I'm so blessed that Roger has really, you know, it's kind of, Roger told me, he called me one night, it was real late, and he said, I think it was like 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and I got up and I answered the phone, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, Freddie! And I said, hey, Roger, what's going on, buddy? And I didn't even realize what time it was. But he's like, man, we have got something that we need to do. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's that? He said, we have got to do something for the people of Oklahoma. And I'm like, oh my God, man, I seen that. And you know, and Josie, one of the reasons why me and Loretta worked hard and Roger and Jeff on that song is because several years back, my sister had went through the same thing in Alabama. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like maybe about 15, 16 years ago.
Right.
It came through. And you know, the odd thing about that was I thought about that while we was writing this song. And I remember us being back home, and I remember we're sitting there watching a TV of what was going on. And my sister didn't exactly know what part it had hit, but it had hit her home, and she had seen her neighbors was standing there, and it was Mrs. Cromer, and they was like, yeah, and the odd thing, now listen, the odd thing about that was the Cromer's house didn't get touched, thank God for that, because, you know, they was up there in age, you know, I think somewhere around 75 or 80 or something like that. It was a blessing, but there was a field of horses that never got touched either.
Wow.
That's awesome. Mm. That's the power of God right there. All those horses. We've seen it on TV, and my brother, my sister was in there, and she was like, oh, my God, there's our house right there. It's gone. It's totally gone. And I'm like, oh, my God, man, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, but anyway, when we went down to visit, you know, to help, you know, all we could, you know, my brother-in-law said, I want to take you out here. I want to show you something. And they are both Christians, and they love the Lord. And he took me out, and we got out of the truck, and we stood there in front of this gate. And he said, look and tell me what you see. And I didn't catch on. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It took me like 5 minutes or so. You know, I'm like, man, all these horses are here. And it was strong enough to destroy brick homes and bend steel and stuff. And
oh,
I'm like,
wow,
those horses are still there. So that was awesome right then and there, man.
I was like, awesome.
Man, it is. But yeah, but back to the music, Josie, I had to tell you that, but that song in Oklahoma's Time of Need, we had the privilege of doing that at the Willing Jamboree. And also we had the privilege of playing the Country Music Highway Museum down in Kentucky, where Ricky Skaggs and a lot of the artists played. And, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe the people down there. When they say it's the true bluegrass state, you know, and they love their music, and we got such a warm welcome. And it was like, I don't know, man. They were some really great fans, and I really appreciate them. And I really thank them, you know, for liking our music.
Nothing better than that. And we're going to actually play that in a little while, but we're actually running out of time here. But before we let you go, I want to make sure we get this out. Can you please give us, you know, your websites or social networking sites, all that fun stuff before we go, please?
Yes, ma'am. You can reach us on Facebook at Freddie Asbury and the Southern Country Band. And you can also go to our website, which is freddieasbury.com. And you can also go to Twitter, which is the same thing, the same address. And you can also go to LinkedIn, and I think Pinterest. You can reach us on Pinterest. But the big thing is we love all of our Facebook friends and family, you know, and the people that support us. We love those guys. If you're listening out there, you know, I've always said, you know, without great fans, then who would we be? We would just be singers.
Right, right. Wow. I think that's
And it's
so,
people
I mean,
like, Josie, I want to say this real quick. It's people like you that help us independent artists and things, and it's awesome. And I thank you for what you've done for us tonight. And I also want to thank your producer, and it's really been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. So much fun. I think you're awesome. And thank you so, so much for coming on the show. We'll definitely have you back on at any time. Anytime you got anything you'd like to promote, give us a call.
Okay. Thank you so much, Josie.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Freddie Asbury, everyone. Thanks for coming out. We'll be posting this link on our website. All right, so now here is In Oklahoma Time of Need, the song that he gave us, an amazing, wow, touching story behind. So here we go, and we'll be right back with our next guest. So here we go. Let's play.
I woke up this morning, turned the TV on to catch the news. Everything's gone. I can't believe just what I saw and all the things they were going through. What can I do? I'm sending prayers up for Oklahoma. Won't you say a prayer with me? We're sending prayers up for Oklahoma, in Oklahoma's time of need. So get down on your knees and say a prayer for all of them and their families. Yeah, you and me. Let's do all we can do and reach out a helping hand to our fellow man, yeah, across the land. We're sending prayers up for Oklahoma. Won't you say a prayer with me? We're sending prayers up for Oklahoma, in Oklahoma's time of need. God bless all the little children who left this earth way too soon. Jesus waits at the pearly gates with arms open to welcome you. Everyone say a prayer with me. In Oklahoma's time of need. I've sending prayers up for Oklahoma. Won't you say a prayer with me? We're sending prayers up for Oklahoma, in Oklahoma's time of need. In Oklahoma's time of need.
That was In Oklahoma's Time of Need by Freddie Asbury. And so now I do not want to make our guest wait any longer. So here we go. Here is Jared Blake on the show. Yeah. Jared, how are you?
Hey, darling. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk with you.
I'm excited as well.
Awesome. Awesome. I have definitely been looking forward to this, and I'm excited to play some of your songs and get to know you a little bit better. It'll be good.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So first off, I want to know kind of your background a little bit. What is your earliest memory of making music? When did you first get started?
My earliest memory was five. My brother got married, and I wrote a song called Getting Married is a Good Thing. I later found out that wasn't always the case.
Right. Wow. So that was your earliest memory. Very nice.
That
very
was
nice.
The earliest memory. I remember I recorded it on, this may be dating myself a little bit, but the little tape players that still had the play button with a tiny little red record button right in the center of it.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Remember that I'm talking about? At the one speaker in the tape deck?
Definitely. Wow. That is so, so cool that you did that. Very, very nice. We think your music is so great. I mean, we've been playing several of your songs on my radio station, Country Blast Radio, including your song Countrified. And my listeners just fell in love with you when
awesome.
They heard you. You're getting good reviews.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I think that's amazing. And we have that song, Countrified, that we'll play in just a second here. But, you know, I really want to talk a little bit. You know, first off, let's start with your Countrified tour. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, pretty much right after The Voice, we launched on tour. Actually, I started touring before the show was even over. As soon as they kicked me off, we had the first month lined up. And the Countrified tour started basically the same way that the Don't Mind tour started. The fans chose Don't Mind. I'd kind of put it out on Twitter and Facebook while I was on the show of what song everybody wanted to be the first one out, and Don't Mind was the pick. And so we recorded it and started that tour, and we had a thing. I was like, why don't we just create every tour the same way and let the fans really decide what's going on? And so we just kind of started, you know, telling people at shows to voice their opinion of what they thought. And it just, Countrified kept coming back over and over and over again. And it was just kind of a given for us. We hit the road starting the promotion on that single about a month ago. I couldn't tell you how long it runs. We typically hit, because of the show, given us such a wide range of places to tour, we pretty much hit every place in the United States that's possible. We're excited about this one in particular because it's the first one that we're promoting the radio. And so, I don't know, what else you want to know about it?
That is awesome. That is so, so cool. Well, your website, you know, has so much about it, at jaredblakemusic.com, and for all of, you know, your tour dates, as well as, you know, a spot on the main page where people can, you know, send in their Countrified photos, which are pretty awesome. About these days, so much.
Really?
So yeah, just go to the website and check it out. Check everything out.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. And also, show you're referring to, people probably have seen you on, you were on The Voice, and you were on Blake Shelton's team. Is that right? That's awesome.
Yes, I was. Great Blake Shelton.
That is so cool. Can you tell us about that experience? Wow.
Well, I tell you, mine was a little bit different than most probably, but mm-hmm. I think it was pretty cool because when I came on the show, I had actually met Blake like right before he blew up. I used to fish at the same dam that he used to go fishing at. And so he kind of briefly remembered that once I was on the show. But our publishers had been the same. We had been managed by some of the same people, produced by some of the same people. And it just so happened that Red River Blue, last album that he came out with was written by a good friend of mine as well. So we had a lot in common, a lot of people in common. And so instead of coming kind of from a mentor perspective, he kind of gave me kind of some artist respect of the fact that I'd been in Nashville pursuing this for a while as well. And his encouragement was more in the fact of like, what do you do after the show, the aftermath, and how to handle everything. And he was pretty crucial in advising me and showing me different people to talk to. Like Colt Ford was one of the people that he led me to right after the show about kind of bridging the gap of the type of music that I was doing to country radio. And he was really, really encouraging about the fans. I probably learned more from him about that than anything else because he was, and it's talked about how faithful and great country music fans were. And he was like, you know, after this show, you've got these people that love you. And he was like, as long as you take care of them, they will never leave you. And man, was he right. I swear, I'm positive that my fans are the greatest. And you hear that from every artist out there, but I'm positive my fans are the greatest people ever. They've just been so incredibly supportive. And this is the only reason that, you know, I've gotten a chance to meet people like yourself, you know.
Yes, definitely. I am so, so excited that we got in contact, and your fans are awesome, so dedicated. I have to say, they really are. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I've always been curious about this. When you're, you know, about to audition for, you know, these big time competition shows, how do you feel before you're getting on that stage? I mean, I'm pretty sure a little bit nerves were in there, but what else? I mean, must have been interesting.
It's more stressed than anything because they're always looking for that emotional angle. They always want to capture that, you know, like every show, every episode, someone's crying. The reason is because they come to you like literally they would be counting down from 10 to putting you out the door there, and they would start asking the most personal questions they could possibly think of about your life. Anything that they knew was a sensitive issue for you, and they get that camera right in your face. And they would literally be counting down, asking you those sort of questions, you know, at 3, 2, 1, throw your guitar on, you send you out the door. And so there wasn't really a chance to get nervous so much as you were just kind of stressed and scared because you had no idea what had just happened, you know.
Right.
And then it was 2 minutes of a song, and then you're back off stage, and now you're doing an interview on red carpet and doing this stuff. And so literally it was almost, I describe it like riding a bull. It was 8 seconds of blur, and then it was done.
Right. Wow. That sounds like it was kind of a surreal moment. I mean, I can't even imagine how, you know, to handle all that, you know, the cameras in your face, the rush, the interviews, the, you know, in front of these, you know, professionals. I mean, I don't even know. That must have been interesting, but wow.
It was fun to me because, I mean, that was, you were getting a chance to do something that, you know, very few get to do. And I think just realizing where you were at and what was changing in your life and that it was giving you an ability to get to fans. I mean, for a guy like me that's pursued it as long as I have, that was a dream come true. So I was on cloud nine the entire time. It wasn't about winning. It was about just living in that moment and breathing in everything that was happening.
That is so, so cool. And for those that are, you know, want to see Jared in action, all you have to do is, you know, on Google, I mean, if you type in the voice and then Jared Blake, it pops up and you can see all that fun stuff, his performances. And it's very neat seeing you on there and just you're doing your thing, and it's really cool.
Thank you.
Yes, I love it, I love it. And now people are all in my ear here asking for us to play your song, Countrified, so let's just do it. I'm very excited, so let's play it right now, Countrified, and we'll be right back, okay? Let's do it.
All right.
All right, here we go.
She come a long way from where she was raised, brought her out from the hills of California. Never seen a catfish, never held a bud. Little Christian Louboutins, never seen no Arkansas mud. We're gonna do things that she ain't never tried. Lord, she's about to get countrified. I said, give mama some fried chicken a taste. And I saw a little smile come across her face. I begin to see the changes coming on, yeah. She done forgot about the city. That sweet summer wind won't be tonight. She's loving things that she ain't never tried. Got a drinking in this honky tonk. Done forgot about the city. Lord, she's getting countrified. Forgot about the city. Loud. Now she's country.
countrified. Yeah.
Jared Blake, excuse me. And so I was wondering, for all of the new listeners out there, all of your new fans out there, where can we go to purchase this song?
Well, of course, iTunes. I think Android has an app as well, Amazon, all those kind of things. Luckily, I have a team of people that they keep all that stuff going because I know squat about it. What I do know is apparently any place you buy music, you can get it. So
perfect. Perfect, perfect. So many, many places, and then you can, you know, get on iTunes. You can get on all of your iDevices, you know, your iPhones, your iPads, your all sorts of things. So just check that out.
Absolutely.
And get countrified. Yes. Very easy. And your website, of course, jaredblakemusic.com, but also I know you're on some social networking sites. Can you give those out for everybody?
Yes, see, the thing is, on the road, they call me a five-year-old, and that's not really that far away from being true. So they make everything extremely easy on me, which makes everything easy on you guys. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, anything that's new that's about to come out, just type it in and Jared Blake Music, and you'll find me.
Exactly. Perfect, perfect. And when in doubt, Google. Google his name. You'll find
right.
it all.
That's,
yeah.
Google's my best friend.
It really is. It really is. So, I mean, just that's your one-stop shop right there. Just type in his name, Jared
Absolutely.
Blake.
Absolutely.
Yes, and you have had so many great experiences. You've played with such great artists, you know, like Lee Bryce, Thompson Square, the Band Perry, John Rich, Randy Houser, to name a few. And they're all my favorites. Can you tell us a little bit about any of those experiences? Very nice.
Yeah, you know what? I'm especially excited about a show that's coming up because it's Jared Neiman and Randy Houser and myself, Billy
Ooh.
Carrington, I think Thompson Square. The excitement was that because I ran into Jared Neiman not long ago, and you know, you hear about like groups of people coming to town together. Well, that's very much what happened with a lot of us that are coming out right now. And I think I'm pulling up the rear here, but it was when I came to town. It was Lee Bryce, Jared Neiman, myself, Randy Houser, Luke Bryant, and Jamie Johnson, and we all hung out at the same bar, and they had a little bitty stage. There was like three stools up there, and it was all of us would just kind of take turns getting up there and singing. Luke was the first person to leave that group, and everybody just seemed to keep following. But it was cracking me up because when I saw the booking, I ran into Neiman, and he was like, dude, he was like, we probably haven't played together since that bar because everybody just kind of went their own separate ways. So we're excited to get back, but it's crazy thinking about that now that, like, all those guys would just sit in the same room and play, and no one cared. No one cared at all that you had, like, five or six guys that were about to become, you know, huge stars, you know, especially Luke. I mean, he's just massive now.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I still remember the night that he came in and said that he got a record deal. And we were all like, were you looking for a record deal? And he was like, not really, but, I mean, I'm going to take it because people don't just get offered record deals. We were all just writing for different companies. I think Lee was writing for Curb, and I forget who Neiman was writing for. And Jamie, of course, was writing for somebody, and I was on with Sony, and we were just writing songs, and, you know, probably drinking too much, and, you know, that's it. But that's the coolest thing, is to wake up one morning, and you're like, wow, like, all my friends are just taking off. Everything's going great for everybody, so.
Absolutely. That's so cool that you got to see kind of them, you know, doing different things and kind of, you know, making it big, and they have a lot of fans, big fan base. So I think that's very, very cool that you got to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you have been in, you know, such great things. You've also been featured in magazines such as People and Rolling Stone. Oh, my goodness, it's awesome. You have such an exciting career. What was that like for you? What is that like for you, seeing that?
Well, the Rolling Stones wasn't quite what I was looking for. I got excited because they told me that I was in it. And then when I got in it, I found out that it was because somebody had written an article that I was cheating on my girlfriend. But the picture that they took, the girl that I was cheating with, was my girlfriend. So it was really, really confusing. And I was like, oh, I finally made a Rolling Stones, and it was for cheating, only I wasn't. It said that I had pulled a girl up from the audience and kissed her on stage, and it was actually my girlfriend. It wasn't just some random girl. So that one wasn't quite what I was hoping for out of Rolling Stones, but, you know, I was in it.
Right.
So.
You were in it? Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. Wow. Sometimes you'll get things printed in there that you're kind of like, oh, boy, we should have did a little more research for that one.
But, yeah, but
wow.
You're still excited. You're like, well, at least they thought it was worth mentioning.
Exactly. I love it.
Right.
Very, very cool. And your fiancé was in it, too. So there you go.
Right. Absolutely.
Beautiful. And your next song that we have is called Stomp. Can you tell us a little bit about this song?
Wow, I didn't even know how you guys have that one. That's a song that we're kind of testing the market on it. Fans are starting to get a hold to it and just seeing what they think about it. But the song came from the fact of every time we get off stage, basically they throw booty music on every club that you go to. And I was like, thinking about it, I was like, man, everybody I know, you know, likes a little bump in there. And the thought that the country people are just, you know, these country bumpkins is crazy because they like their rock and roll. They still like rap. They like all sorts of things. And so we were sitting at a Christmas party one night at the publishing company that I work at. And we noticed that all the country publishers were bumping Kanye West. And we were like, wow, this is a country publishing house, and they're listening to Kanye West. And it kind of all just stemmed from that. We were like, we pulled out a resonator and started riding around, you know, like club sort of beats. And so that became the subject matter of the song, is about how, you know, country people just like to get down. They just like to party. And
so cool.
That was it. And we really weren't expecting much of it, and brought it back. We recorded it, brought it back to the publishing company, and they were like, dude, this is great. And it wound up going on the project.
That is so cool. Well, I'm glad that we have that, though. We even surprised you on the show.
You
look
did.
At that.
You did.
Very nice. So we're going to play that in just a second, but we're about to get cut off. So I want to really quick here. You know, many of my listeners have made this comment to us, so I want to pass it a little bit along and, you know, ask about it. But you have an awesome look and style, and, you know, when you walk in a room, people could tell that you do something amazing before they even meet you. What would you say to that?
You're making me blush. What do I say about what?
It's true. Mm-hmm.
You said, what do I say about what?
What would you say to all those awesome fans out there that are just, they just love the look and style.
Thank you. I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know. I kind of came out of my girlfriend jokes that I wake up like that every morning. But it's kind of true. Like my father, I was sitting down with him some holiday, and he was like, you know, I should have known you were going to turn out like this. And I was like, why? And he was like, from the time you were little, you would go to kindergarten, you'd come home, and you would have drawn tattoos all over your arm. Your hair was always a mess. You would put little dots on your ears like they were earrings or something, and you ripped all of your jeans. And you're like, you dig into your like mother's jewelry and pull out all sorts of stuff. And so I don't know. Apparently, I was just born that way. But I appreciate their kindness. I don't know.
It's just you.
It's just awesome. Me.
It's just you. Love it. And thank you so much for coming on the show. We think you are amazing, and we'll continue being a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Come back anytime. We'll chat with you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Jared Blake, everyone. Love it. And I want to play a song right now called Stomp, and let's do that right now. Here we go. Stomp. Get out.
Wanted to come on and let everybody know to go to our josieshow.com page, click on the VIP membership tab, scroll down to the bottom, and you can check out all of our VIP members. We've got Vince Anthony, Tim Garman, Wayne Jacobs, and Larry Massey on there, so you can just click on the links and it'll take you straight to their site so you can check out all the great stuff they have going on. And if you are an artist and you want to become a member and receive benefits like they have, just go scroll up to the top on that page and sign up. Literally takes a minute and your benefits will last a whole year. Next week on the Josie Show, we've got Scott Nichol, Jason Terry, Maruna Pinza, Cesaro. I hope I said that right. And Cody McCarver. So it's going to be a great, great week. All right, back to you, Josie.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So please check out the VIP members and